Amen. Good morning. How was everybody's Thanksgiving? Anybody still full from it? I feel like I should be. We're going to be in Matthew 24 this morning. So if you have a Bible, go there. You can use your apps on your phone. I don't care. Matthew 24, 36 through 44 is where we'll be. But before we read that together, let's pray. God, we trust that you're here. God, we know that you're here. You've promised us that you are here. So God, let us hear you. Speak to us this morning, and in the midst of all the other words that are going to be said, may we hear your word, may we hear your voice, and may that be the voice that changes us, and may your word be good news to us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Matthew 24, 36 says, "But about that day and hour, no one knows. Neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So will too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field. One will be taken and the other will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together. One will be taken and the other will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day the Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have left his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." This is the word of the Lord. Have you ever been caught off guard? I know I have. I know, and I think it happens daily, really, if we're honest with ourselves in big ways and small ways. I was born and raised in San Diego. Many of you know that, in California. And I bled blue and gold for the San Diego Chargers. All right, does anybody know what I'm talking about? The San Diego Chargers was a team that used to exist. They no longer exist. All right, so no one come to me and say, "Hey, did you see the Chargers won the other day?" I don't care. There's no Chargers. They're gone. There's a team in Los Angeles. They stole the name. That's not them. But sorry, I'm still recovering. But if you haven't noticed, I'm having trouble getting back into football. It's a sport that I grew up with, that I played, that it's always been around, but lately it's been difficult for me to watch. I'm trying to, follow the Packers, and then of course they lose to that dirty LA team a few weeks back, and it broke my heart again. It's been rough, but I trust that I'll come back to loving football, because football really is a good sport. It's a beautiful sport. And part of the beauty of football is that it's constantly surprising. It's about getting taken off guard all the time. It's one of the great things, and that's actually why there's so many injuries in football too. It's because there's so many surprises. When I was in college, I played rugby. Now, rugby is a tough sport, right? I mean, if you know anything about rugby, you probably think, wow, that's a tough sport. They don't wear pads, so they must be way tougher than football players, right? And they are, but the fact that they don't wear pads has nothing to do with it. The big difference between rugby and football isn't that rugby players are tougher and so they don't need pads. It's because in rugby, you always know when you're going to get hit. The ball's always in front. The defense is always right in front. The guy who's going to hit you is usually right there. And so you're prepared. You know exactly where it's coming from most of the time. In football, you never know where it's coming from. It's the blindside rush. It's getting hit up the middle when the ball's being thrown to you. Some of you, I know, are bored by this because you're not into football, but some of you, you get what I'm saying, right? I see you are ready for Advent with the Packers sweatshirt over there. But football is the reason so many there are so many injuries in football is because people are constantly taken off guard. If you get hurt, it's because you never know where it's coming from. It's a sport of surprises, and that's why it's beautiful. That's why it's good. That's the gospel of football. Let's pray and be. No, I'm kidding. I was looking for a story. This passage in Matthew is about being taken off guard. It's about being unexpected. It's about looking for Christ where we can't know when he's coming. And I was looking for a story or an illustration. I was talking to Amanda. Just so you know, Amanda writes most of my sermons. So we were talking about an illustration. What could I use from our experience? And earlier that week, she had been looking for something in our house. It was something that was lost, a candle that she'd gotten for the Christmas season. It had a really Christmassy smell, and she wanted to put it out, but she couldn't find it. Usually it's because one of our kids stole it, and you know how it is. And so we kind of gave up on looking for it. And as we're talking, I'm like, Amanda, what's an example of really like when something's unexpected, and you know, and we're thinking of like the Bugs Bunny scenario where Elmer Fudd is hunting for wabbits, and then Bugs comes up next to him and says, "What are you doing?" And they start talking, and you know that scenario. We're trying to think through that, and right in the middle of thinking through this, Amanda goes, "Oh, there it is." Like for 3 days, we'd given up on this candle, and it's sitting on the table in front of us, staring at us, and that's when we found it. We found this candle when we weren't looking for it anymore. It was unexpected. We are in the first Sunday of Advent. And Advent is a season where we prepare for and anticipate the coming of Jesus. It's a season when we look for Jesus' arrival. In fact, the word Advent means arrival. It means a coming. It means God coming to us. We're celebrating the coming of Jesus, yes, 2,000 years ago. But what Advent does is it reminds us that this is not just some past event, but that Jesus comes to us still. That Jesus is still coming. In our traditional service, we say it every first Sunday of the month, this holy mystery that Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. And so it's kind of ironic that our Christmas season, our Advent season, is so full of traditions. These beautiful traditions that are designed to get us anticipating the coming of Christ can sometimes become routines. We kind of get into the routine of Christmas looking, we know Jesus is coming on December 25th, we know exactly when that's coming, and we narrow our focus and we look for that. But this is ironic, it should be ironic to us, because there is nothing routine about the coming of Jesus. In fact, we can be pretty sure that Jesus' coming is going to take us off guard. And if our focus is narrow, we'll miss it. The irony is that Advent, which is a season that's supposed to prepare us for Jesus' coming, can actually blind us to it. Because when we think we know where Jesus is coming, when it's going to happen and how it's going to work, that's when we miss it. Because Jesus doesn't come when we expect it. That's basically what this story is about in Matthew 24. If you weren't sure, it's very clear in these first verses. This very first verse says, "But about that day and hour, no one knows. Neither angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father." No one knows. Is there anything unclear about that? I'm asking because throughout history of the church, we have missed the clarity of that point. People have spent, they've bent over backwards trying to figure out when Jesus is going to come and exactly what's going to happen. And of course, this passage, we've tend to put it in the future as the parousia, the second coming of Jesus. And that's basically what it's about. But it's also about Jesus coming to us in Advent, in Christmas, in everyday life. And we've spent so much time trying to figure out when Jesus is coming. And it's as though we just missed this verse. About that day and hour, no one knows. In fact, this whole story, Matthew 24 and 25, is a long answer to the question, hey, Jesus, when are you coming? When is the Son of Man coming? When is this actually happening? And it's the long answer that basically says, nobody knows. So stop trying to figure it out. It's kind of interesting that Jesus uses the story of Noah. It's kind of a dark turn in the story, right? This passage, in fact, isn't really what we think of when we think of Christmas, right? Christmas is a time of anticipation, of joy, of kind of bells and candles and things, but Noah, that story isn't really a cheerful story. I guess it is the way we teach it to children. Sometimes I think that's kind of the weirdest thing about church is that this is one of the first stories that we teach children. Have you ever noticed that? And it's like the story where God like kills everyone. Okay, that's complicated. And it's dark, and it's weird, and we'd have to spend a lot of time thinking about what that's about. And of course, it ends with the promise of resurrection, of new life, of that this won't happen again, and that God is going to restore things. And that's where we want to, that's the beauty of it. But in the days of Noah, it says, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing of the flood until it came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Dark, right? Why would Jesus use that story to remind us of his coming? Why would that, what does that story have to do with the coming of Jesus, of God with us? Of the God who loves us coming to restore us and bring us back to life. What could that have to do with it? And it goes on. It says, two will be in the field. One will be taken away and the other left. Two women will be grinding together. Two men will be working in the same field. So if you think it's about making sure you have the right job or something, that's not apparently two people can be doing the same thing at the same time, and one's caught and the other's not. We don't know what's going on with that. And then a story of a thief. If the homeowner knew what time the thief was coming, he wouldn't let it happen, right? Why these themes for the coming of the Son of Man? I wonder if Jesus uses these dark themes to wake us up. Our Christmas traditions can trick us into thinking that we know exactly how this is going to go, and we can kind of relax, right? We know exactly how Jesus is going to show up. It's going to be on December 25th. In the morning, we're going to wake up. There's some about Santa Claus and Jesus. I don't know. Same story, right? And we sort of relax into this, and it can kind of put us to sleep. We end up looking in one place when we should be looking everywhere. We can forget the urgency of the coming of Jesus. Advent is a season of perpetual readiness, always being ready for the coming of Jesus. So the point, in case you're tempted to miss it, is not to figure it out. It's not to know better than the next person where Jesus is and where to look. It's to be ready. The point is to be ready for this unexpected hour, to know that Jesus could show up anytime and anywhere and in any person who comes across your path. So if the point of this story, if the point of Advent, if the point, remember, Jesus is answering a question that the disciples have asked. When is the Son of Man coming? And Jesus spends a lot of time saying, you won't know. It's going to surprise you. So if the point is to be ready for what you cannot expect, if the point is to anticipate the unanticipatable, is that a word? I just made it up. If that's the point, then what does this readiness actually look like? And I think the place to look is actually in Matthew 25. In the next chapter, Jesus gives us an idea of what this readiness should look like. What does it look like to be in Advent, waiting for the Son of God? Then the king will say, he says, Jesus is telling us a story about a king who has separated good servants from bad servants. It's sort of a traditional Jewish narrative in a way. And he's sort of, he's parting them and he's giving us this criteria. He says to those at his right hand, the righteous, the good ones, come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And here's where we pay attention, right? Why do they inherit this kingdom? When this king comes, why do these people inherit? Why do these people get it? Because when I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him. Pay attention to this answer. They don't recognize it, right? They're confused by this. They say, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer, truly I tell you, just as you did to one of the least of these, who are members of my family, you did it to me. These righteous servants, you know, it's a story, right? There's a metaphor here, right? These righteous servants don't remember serving their king this way, because the people they were serving were unexpected. The actual people that they served, they had no idea that that was where the king was going to show up. They had no idea that it was in the least of these that their king would come. And likewise, if you read on in the story, the people who got it wrong and missed it, who mistreated the least of these, who didn't, not even mistreated them, just didn't think it was important to go visit the prisoner, to love people that are difficult to love, to feed the hungry and clothe the naked. The people who didn't take that time, they missed it because they didn't know any better either. They didn't recognize that their king could show up somewhere like that, in that kind of person. Advent, and what we want to do in this season of Advent as a church family, as a community, what Advent is about is waking up to the possibility that God with us, Jesus, might show up in unexpected places. And to be ready by serving those who are in need, by looking to the hungry, the thirsty, the stranger, the naked, the sick, the prisoner, the person we would never expect, to look there and expect, anticipate that maybe that's where Jesus is. If your Christmas traditions don't actually help you do that, if our Christmas traditions don't help us to expect Jesus in unexpected places, then perhaps they have nothing to do with the coming of Jesus. Does your Christmas tradition have anything to do with this Jesus who was born in a manger, who was born among poor refugee parents who were kicked out of every home they tried to get into? Does your Christmas, does Advent have something to do with them? Let's be ready for Jesus coming this year. Let's be ready together. Let's be ready for what we cannot anticipate by always being ready, by never falling asleep on the person who is right in front of us. Never getting, let's not lull ourselves into just relaxing and being rude to the person who just cut you off in traffic. That's hard, right? Or, you know, I'm going to withhold my tip from this waitress because I don't really have the money and they weren't that good anyway. Let's not relax ourselves on being kind to everyone, because we don't know when the next person we serve will be Christ himself. And in fact, what I think Advent, what the incarnation of God in Jesus Christ teaches us, is that every relationship we have, yes, even the one with the person who cuts you off in traffic, is a holy relationship because God is in human form. God dwells with us. God is here, folks. That is urgent, and we should be awake to that. That is what Advent is about. So let's not only look to the manger, especially our cute little nativity scenes, but to the hungry, the thirsty, the stranger, whoever that may be. And let's be ready by loving everyone, for we do not know the unexpected hour when Jesus might show up. Let's pray. God, we thank you for being a God of surprises. God, when we think we've figured you out, we're wrong. Because you are always bigger than our imagination. You are always bigger than what our brains can hold. And God, when we think that we have it figured out, remind us that you love everyone, and that if we want to love you, we should start by loving the people you love, because perhaps you'll show up. And we want to be ready, God. We want to be ready to welcome you when you come. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.